Do you have a spooky real-life ghost story that you'd like us to read out on the show?
Or maybe you'd like us to take a musical look at your favourite horror film?
Then drop us an email at ghostgiguk@gmail.com. Welcome to the Ghost Gig. Are you sitting comfortably? Then let's begin. Good day, everyone. Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of The Ghost Gig. My name is Alice, and this is...
Vince.
And we thought we'd have a go at starting our own podcast, our own paranormal podcast, with a twist. What's our twist, Vince?
Our twist? You don't have to gesture, I know what you mean. She's gesturing at me. I don't know why she's gesturing at me. You're going to get musical reviews.
You're going to get musical reviews. So we are going to watch spooky things and we're going to write songs about them because that's what we're going to do, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and then you're going to listen to it or you're not going to listen to it.
Hopefully someone will listen to it. So we're both interested in the paranormal. I myself have had some experiences, which I will talk about after our musical reviews. And we'll obviously be looking into other stories, cases, having a look online. And each week we'll bring something to you. And hopefully if anyone listens to this, they'll be sending in their own experiences too, which would be...
We would like that.
We would love that. So this week we watched a series called Dark Tourist on Netflix. I think I'm just going to give an unbiased... Just overview.
Should be for like the blurb, yeah. After the DVD,
yeah,
and or the Netflix screen.
If you have anything to interject, Vince. So basically, it's a guy who goes around the world and finds the weirdest hotspots for tourists, and they are scary, macabre, traditional things that happen all over the world. And he goes out and tries these things. So he's basically trying to experience the weird and the wonderful. Would you kind of have
I think that's
to
a pretty fair way. Yeah, he's trying to show people a side of travel that maybe isn't in other travel logs.
Yes.
I think that's that's his intention.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't find this in your kind of local travel agent.
No, this is definitely not a Thomas Cook kind of.
No, well, they're not a thing anyway anymore. So
well, sod them.
No.
Then. That's probably why they're not. They should have done this.
Yeah, they probably should have done this, and then they would have been really popular.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that is Dark Tourist. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I feel like it's a couple of years old. It's been here a while. You've probably seen it if you haven't.
You can obviously now tell if something's before COVID or after COVID. This is definitely before. So a few years old, but within the last 2-3 years, isn't it?
I imagine most of the attractions, if that's what you're supposed to call them, present then when during filming are probably going to be there.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah, I think so.
So
I'm holding a guitar, so I guess I might go first.
I think that feels like the nice thing to do, doesn't it?
Yes. We're using Vince's equipment to record, so you're going to have to get my lyrics up for me because I don't know how to do it. Thank you very much. Oh, he's got a very complicated looking Trello board here.
It's a great Trello board. Don't knock my Trello.
So I'm not going to give the name of my song away now because if I say the name of my song, the whole premise of the song will be gone. So, yes, this is my my review of Dark Tourist on Netflix.
Weirdos seem to see. Don't watch if you can't handle blood or human remains. La 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 la. Well, you need a strong stomach, it's true, to watch Kiwi Louie Theroux. He has no fear, he'll try anything. Have a wander into a high radiation zone, then a chat with Charles Bronson on the phone. Joining a voodoo cult is just another day for him. La 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 la. La 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 la. It's pretty gory. watching Kiwi Louis Theroux. There's no sugar coating, you need to brace yourselves. He's taken to visit various relatives that have been dead for years and years, so I'd probably not recommend for the under 12s. So I can't really justify this. La 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 la. So I thoroughly recommend to you all a dark tourist, as it's actually called. You'll feel spooked and educated through and through. So take your mind off Euros and Brexit, grab the remote and log on to Netflix before your ex changes the password on the account that you still use.
Everyone's all really only using one Netflix account, aren't they? So thank you to whoever it is that we're all using your account for.
Yeah, cheers for that. I actually do have my own account. You're using mine.
I am using yours. Yeah. But I'm very respectful of it.
Okay, you are.
I always wipe my feet.
Would you like to critique my song first, or would you like to play your song and then we critique it?
I feel like we should both play our songs, okay, and then we'll have our conversation about our back and forth.
Okay, cool. Yeah? So if you haven't, if you were still listening after that, this is Vince's song.
This, yeah. So my song is called Also Dark Tourist, a.k.a. Freak Pointing. If you watch enough Father Ted, you know that's what you end up doing.
Yeah, the old guy and Father Ted in the chair. It was a bit like that, which is kind of crazy on a guy in his early 30s.
I feel it was the feeling that it was evoked when I was thinking about how I felt about Dark Tourist.
Okay.
It's kind of like freak pointing, but I'll elaborate for you.
Who'd have thought that titillating trouble spots could make me so engaged? I could sit and tell myself I'm being educated instead of just entertained. Other travel logs will try to emphasize human connection, but maybe because he's not Louis Theroux, he doesn't ask the right questions. Thematically it jumps around, and this can come off quite mean. I sometimes wondered if it should have followed episodic themes. I want to see the human spirit triumph over adversity, and it's buried here, and unfortunately it's framed with a smirk or mockery. Who'd have thought that titillating trouble spots could make me so engaged? I could sit and tell myself I'm being educated instead of just entertained. Snort and conclude that it's just freaky to westernize. But removal of the context so the viewers will just criticize the point of moving on through broadcasts, leaving attitudes like this behind. And it feels as if the production company was under the thumb of Netflix. Well, the problem is really the people who pointed, laughing at all of this. Who'd have thought that titillating trouble spots could make me so engaged? I could sit didn't tell myself I'm being educated instead of just entertained. Who'd have thought that titillating trouble spots could make me so engaged? I can sit and tell myself I'm being educated instead of just entertained.
Emphasis on the raw. So
yeah,
that's
on the
fine.
Raw. On the raw.
Because this is horror, so we should have, like, you know, it should
exactly.
be like raw meat.
Yeah,
it shouldn't look like a cookery show. It should look like a medical drama.
No, it makes it even more scary, you know?
Yeah.
So I should mention, actually, that Vince hasn't really written songs before. Would you say that?
I haven't, no.
No.
Well, I don't know if that's really relevant for our podcast.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's quite cool. You know, I've written songs for a long time, so, you know,
yes,
I think it's clever.
Alice is a proficient and a proficient songwriter and performer and has been doing so and doing it as her living for quite some years.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, you have.
I suppose so, yes.
Yourself down.
Yeah, you know, all musicians during this time obviously suffered, but anyway, we won't go into that.
No. Happy Uplifting.
Happy Uplifting, yeah. Happy Uplifting Horror. Ooh, that's a good name. Happy Uplifting Horror.
Oh, it's too late now. We've committed to the ghost notes.
To Ghost Whisperers. I think yours, you've gone a lot deeper with your song. I kind of stayed on the surface and played the whole kind of happy jolly thing.
I feel like yours is quite a useful way for someone who needs an introduction to the show to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like mine is only, I did lean a bit on the criticism.
Yeah.
It's not because I really did enjoy it. That's why the chorus was, you know,
I wanted
to emphasise I actually liked the show.
Yeah.
I did feel there were some troubling things. I feel like maybe in 10, 15 years' time, we might look back on it and go...
Yeah, cringe.
They were a bit weird back then, weren't they, those guys? Look at them. Look, this was big TV. I think that might age poorly.
A bit like watching Little Britain Now type thing.
Perhaps. Woo! But there's many other things. And that's normal. That's what always happens. That's progress.
Yeah.
But I feel like perhaps in the future, this is the kind of show that could be used as clips.
Yes. How not to do.
Not necessarily that, but like... Look at the attitudes prevalent in the 2010s.
Yeah. The guy is quite clearly not trying to be, but he is Louis Theroux, isn't he?
He's a younger version of Louis Theroux. He's a similar disposition.
Yeah.
And we just found in the last episode, he's called out with this.
Yes, he is.
On camera.
Which is quite satisfying, actually.
It is, and I'm glad they put that in the last episode.
Yeah, there's an American guy going, why are you trying to be him? Why are you trying to be Louis?
Why are you trying to be Louis? Yeah,
I liked
that.
He's like, I get this a lot.
That's more Australian than New Zealand, but
I can't do accents.
I wasn't even going to bother, don't worry. You're more brave than I am.
Yeah. That was very interesting. But... Yes, he is, but he's got that mentality of just being, I will try anything, which I really admire.
Apparently, he got the commission to do this series off of a previous film he made, which was released at festivals and things, which we should see.
Yeah.
It's something to do with tickling. I think it's called Tickled.
Tickled.
Yes.
Okay.
People
like a fetish.
I don't know if it's to do with like a sexualized fetish, but I think it was just. Similar thing, it's into trying to investigate people who have a different outlook on life, which is definitely what Dark Tourist is as well.
Definitely, yes.
And, you know, much like I suspect this Tickled is likely to be, and maybe you are laughing at us because you've seen this film, we haven't.
Yeah, we need to find that then.
We should find it.
Yeah.
At no point does Dark Tourist feel like it's straying into titillation, all right?
No.
I know I use the word titillation, but that's because, you know, alliteration. But, like, it's not an erotic thing. Like, none of the people that are being shown to be getting off on it in that kind of sense.
No.
It's not that.
Well, no, this is the interesting thing. To them, it's just their way of life, you know?
Apart from
maybe the crazy guy with the museum who knew Charles Bronson. He was a bit
mad. He was just very interested.
Yeah.
He definitely had a macabre outlook on life, and that is kind of what they were trying to pursue and investigate.
Yeah. You're right, in your song there is a bit of like tourists gawping at like, oh, look at these strange, this is what these weirdos do, you know.
There was definitely a point where it felt like it was just laughing at the other people who go and view these things as legitimate tourists. It's like, what are these people, what's wrong with them? It was kind of the tone they were going for, which I felt maybe that's fair, maybe that is what people watching it are going to be thinking anyway. But it feel like that's what they were directing you to think.
I mean, he meets some people who are always preparing for the end of the world, and I've seen bits about these guys before, and it was a bit like that Louis Theroux thing of like, oh yeah, I'll humour you, but really, like, you look at the camera and stuff, just going, help me, which is quite funny.
He never quite goes as far as to look down the barrel of the camera and smirk, but, or knock his head to the side or anything, but there's something of a...
Yeah.
He's not as good at Louis as digging out. He doesn't draw the answers out of people.
He's young, he might... Yeah, he might develop.
He might, but I don't think he's intentionally going straight after that either. But, you know, when Louis Theroux will investigate someone, he's really good at spending enough time with them so that they will say something they shouldn't say, or in a way they shouldn't say it, on camera.
Yes.
I don't feel like he was ever allowed to do that in this. I think because of the format, they have to cram everything into 15 minutes per item. And sometimes there's a lot more there that you want to see and they can't. Because the format structure is just not...
You were totally right. It has been totally Netflixed, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah. It's got to be for mass appeal. It's got to be for the US audiences as well. It's got to have enough appeal for everyone to see it.
Yeah. But I would definitely recommend watching it because it's really interesting. He covers a great big variety of different things.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and it's you do end up going, oh my God, like, oh.
You do. And equally, I would say in most episodes, you'll also find it.
Yeah.
In the moment as well.
Yeah.
He does invite you to laugh at people sometimes, which I don't always love, but sometimes it's probably what you're going to do anyway.
Yeah. I think that I would thoroughly recommend watching it. It might make you feel slightly uncomfortable. As I said, I can't really deal with the animal sacrifices, but
no, that's fair.
I'm not a vegetarian, so it's completely hypocritical of me to say that. But if you're not great with blood, or
there's definitely some parts you don't want to watch while eating.
No, yeah.
But at the same time, it's not like the whole thing is, you know, guts and fecal matter. It's nothing really like that. It's not like a gore fest. Yeah.
You are an animal rights, or if you're vegetarian or vegan and you have strong feelings, maybe not. Certain episodes, or at least hide your eyes like I do. Give it a watch.
Give it a watch.
In the future, if anyone's listening to this and we do more episodes, we will be doing films and dramas, but we just thought this would be a fun one to cover.
Our intention at this point is to watch something each week.
Yes.
This was a series, but it could be a film, and then we'll give you our vaguely unfiltered but hopefully slightly tuneful opinions.
And because we're both I'm obsessed with horror. I don't know if you were as obsessed with horror as me, but since we've been together, it's been
I tend to seek out a lot of horror. I think we've seen different films as well.
Yes.
So I think at some point we're gonna list a film where one of us has seen it before.
Yeah.
And that'd be quite a nice thing to do.
Yeah. Cool. So I think we move on now then.
Sweet.
So I have written down some of my experiences. I've cheated a bit because I sent this into another podcast a while ago, so I've got them all, which is useful.
Don't admit to that.
Oh, God. Well, this is what inspired me to start, you know. So I will read... I'll read it out in chunks and you can let me know what you think. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds good. I would like to hear these because, as you say, I've heard little bits before.
Yeah.
But never strung together. I don't understand the chronology.
Mm-hmm. And neither do I,
sometimes context is kind of gone as well, because you just sort of... You went into it because we're at, you know, someone's house and it comes to a conversation. Yeah. So it'd be nice to hear them fleshed out a bit.
If you remember, guys, that going to people's houses. Do you remember that? I mean...
I read about it once.
So, here we go. Both me and my mother experienced things in my childhood home. My dad and my sister never did, but they're not sensitive. Neither of them enjoy horror films or scary experiences, whereas I love them. And I know a lot of people think I'm really weird because of that, but meh. I do believe that you can attract paranormal activity, or at least if you're more open to it, it's more likely to happen to you. Up until the age of 21, we all lived in an old Victorian house in Sussex. Yep, classic creepy old house stuff, I'm afraid. My nana lived with us too, my mum's mum. My first experience was when I was very young, 5 or 6, and I was in my nana's kitchen and she had a little annex in the house. I was looking out of her window into the garden. On the lawn, with her back to me, was an old woman. I say old, that was because she had snow white hair, done in that perm that old ladies seemed to favour. However, she was tall and robust, wearing a floral dress. I was confused because it was winter and this woman was not wearing a coat. She just stood there, with her back to me, not moving. I was more curious than scared, to be honest, and I ran to get my mum. I told her there was an old lady in the garden. We reached the window, and the woman, of course, had gone. My mum said I'd probably just seen my nana, but nana had a bad back and was quite bent over. The woman I saw looked strong and tall. I told my mum about this and she went quiet. Turned out her grandmother, my Nana's mum, who died just after I was born, had been like that. Very tall, 5'10 or so, strong, and favoured floral dresses. She stayed in good health right and up until she died in her 90s. The only thing I wish is that this lady would have turned around so I could have seen her face. But that is what I believed I saw. What do you think?
Yeah. Thoughts? Well, at least it's a pleasant, nice one.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense because, you know, young kids, you know, especially if you just missed meeting her properly.
Yeah.
Sounds like you kind of did.
There is
you
a photo.
Probably would want to visit.
There is a photo of her holding me. And I was a premature baby, interestingly, and she died about a month after I was born. So if I'd been born when I was supposed to have
been
born...
Were you a month premature?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's quite... that's just occurred to me, actually. So that's quite interesting. Yeah.
Almost like she planned it.
Almost she planned it. But yeah, there is a picture of her holding me, and then she died very soon after.
Mm-hmm. At least she did get to meet you then, but you'd understand then why she wanted to check in and just make sure everyone's still, you know, ticking along nicely.
Yeah. Make sure I was behaving myself.
Absolutely. What would she think now?
I think that is quite a nice one.
Yeah, it is.
I think spirits can give off a certain vibe, and I remember not feeling any fear at all. Just like, ooh, who's that? You know.
I've definitely heard it's a sensation, a vibe. It's like, a feeling.
Yeah. And actually, most of these stories are nice from this particular house.
Today's batch of nice ones, okay.
Yeah. Well, there is one that isn't so
nice. That's good, so I won't get so scared.
Yes. Yes, okay. Have to have sleep with the light on, otherwise, won't you?
I will.
Are you ready for the next one?
Go for it, come on.
Cats are and always will be a very important part of my family life and history. We are a crazy cat family.
You are a crazy
Vince
cat
loves
family.
It. When I was a baby, my parents had a grey cat called Charles. There are pictures of me as a premature baby, cuddled up with him. He's bigger than me and he has his paw resting over me as if to protect me. I loved him very, very much. I can still get a bit emotional thinking about him. He died when I was 7 and obviously a long time ago. And I still miss him from time to time. I've still got a picture of him on my dresser at home. He always used to sleep with me at night, and he would guard me when I was sick. When he died, I was obviously heartbroken. Charles, however, continued to visit me at night, and I used to get quite used to the soft thump on my bed. Then there was being nothing there. We got two new cats after he died, two girls, and one of them took up watching the corner of the living room, which we christened the Haunted Corner. When she got old, she lost her sight, but still used to watch the same spot vividly, watching something no one else could see. So this used to amuse us, because even after she couldn't see anything anymore, she'd still go and watch that spot. that's the cat side of things. There was a little cat bit later, but that was Charles. He was an insane animal, basically. He was mental, but he was wonderful,
protective, and he slept on your head, so that's always nice.
Do you
see it happen now?
Yes, and I think I'll mention that a bit later, but he does occasionally. I'll still feel, anyone who has cats, there's a very it's a very specific feeling when they jump onto your bed, like it's like a soft kind of oomph. And it can't. There is nothing else that makes that noise.
And for clarification, Alice doesn't have a cat now.
No, I don't. No, I don't. No.
until you think, oh, it's just her cat.
No, it's not. I'm actually severely allergic to cats now, unfortunately, so I can't have one.
Not for Charles, so that's okay.
No. Well, luckily, it's weird how you can develop allergies in later life. So Charles died long before I developed this allergy. So that's also an interesting one. So I continue. So this is all stuff, as I said, that happened in my home, in my childhood home. Another time I was walking down our drive. Oh, this is another cat bit. I saw a beautiful white cat dart into the road and saw a car come. I saw it hit the cat. I saw the legs tangle in the wheels. To my utter shock, the car simply drove off without checking what it had hit. Only once the road was clear, there was no body, no blood, nothing. Rather ironically, as I've said, I developed a serious cat allergy in my teens, and now I have to use an asthma pump when I visit my parents. Still, all these years on, I still occasionally feel a soft thump of a cat landing on my bed. If guardian angels are a thing, mine defo has grey fur and a tail. And my parents now actually have another grey cat. He looks a lot like Charles.
I doubt he's a guardian angel.
He's not, I'm just saying.
Having met that cat, I don't think he's a guardian
angel. But because he's grey, we're all like, oh, he's like Charles, you know. So he's a little prince, isn't he? He is a little prince. He's very, very naughty. But I'm very allergic to him, so I have to stay away from him, unfortunately. But yeah, so we kind of went over that again. So I don't have a cat now, and I still will occasionally. It happened a few weeks ago and took me by surprise, woke me up. Oh, it's all right, it's just that. So yeah, interesting. I continue. So there are other little bits and pieces from time to time that went on in that house. One night, my mum went to check on my little sister. She was putting her to bed, and it started raining in the doorway of the room. Now, I recently spoke to my mum about this, and she said actually my sister saw it too, which was unusual, because normally my sister would be very much, nope, that hasn't happened.
Absolutely, nope. I cannot imagine your sister doing anything like that now.
But no, apparently she actually, and will still say, yes, I saw it as well. So that is interesting, because my sister would never normally admit to that. Another time my mum saw a crimson cloak, and I should be very careful not to say clock, because that would be strange. A crimson cloak flip round the door, or, you know, whip round the door, as in someone had just turned the corner. And it looked so real that she actually went and looked down the corridor to see who it was, and obviously there wasn't anyone there. What do you think of that?
Unless there was a very, very well-dressed... burglar or something in the area.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are in Sussex, darling.
Well, obviously everyone has red cloaks when they go burgling there, naturally.
Yeah, obviously. So you're nice and visible, you know.
Well, someone like that would also have a theme tune, I think, playing in their head.
Yeah.
Or just as they left the room.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is, like, obviously I didn't see this. This was my mum.
Yeah.
You can sometimes, your eyes play tricks on you sometimes.
Yeah, that is true. That is possible, I suppose, with anything.
Yeah.
But your mum's reasonably perceptive.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm sure she's thought the same thing. You know, it could have been
a
mistake, but, you know, a red cloak.
Yeah. It's very specific. Yeah, I mean, that compared to it raining in the door, you're like, it's raining in the doorway, and that's not me seeing something.
Oh, the plumbing hasn't burst. That looks like drips, not rain.
So the cloak's easier to explain than the rain. But as you said, my mum is very, very together, and I don't think she'd imagine something like that, especially as it's such something so specific and random. There's that one. Another time, I was standing opposite the house waiting for a driving instructor when I saw a man standing in our drive. Now, we had a little bunch of trees, so it's a kind of a tiny little foresty area just in front of the house, and he was standing at the front of the trees. He had a brown beard and a long trench coat. He seemed upset and confused, kind of like a beaten, like his soul had been broken type thing. A car went past and he vanished. Another time, Mum and I were driving back at night, and we both looked up and saw a woman in the road outside our house. She was dressed all in white. In fact, I remember my mum going, "Ooh, woman in white." She was standing right in the middle of the road, and I remember my mum actually slowing down because she was worried she was going to hit her, and she just didn't move. As we came towards her, she just dispersed a bit like snow. It wasn't snowing, so that was very strange. I remember, and I can still remember that very clearly. It was definitely, you know, it was a, I mean, yes, it could have been mist or fog, but it, you know, for it to make that shape so intricately would be quite impressive.
Well, if your mum was sort of piped up, probably might, you know.
Yeah.
There's a woman in the road.
Although now she says she...
That suggests to me that she saw a human being shaped thing, like, rather than a wisp of smoke or some headlights caught in the light weirdly, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we both, although, especially if she was slowing down for it as well.
Now, annoyingly, she says she never remembers that happening, which is very annoying, but I can. And we both saw it.
Well, now you're archiving it for the rest of eternity on the internet, so.
Yeah. I'm like, come on, you must remember it. I don't know, whatever it was obviously wiped her memory. Like, you will forget. You will forget.
Maybe. Seems like a lot of work to go to. Stranger in the, on, you know, on the road at night. I know, I will track them down.
Yeah. No. So I've got two more. I'm going to tell the worst one now, which really, it really freaked me out, and then I'll tell a nice sort of another, a light one to end with. So this one I'm going to tell now is the only time I felt truly terrified in that house. Apart from that, experience have left me feeling curious and kind of like pumped up and like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, fizzed. Is that a word?
If it is,
yeah,
it's become one.
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, excited. This one, though, was not nice at all, and it's typically the one story that could be scientifically explained. I have always suffered with sleep paralysis. Not nice generally, but when you're a child, it's absolutely petrifying, and I'm sure anyone else who suffers from this can agree with me. Basically, in case anyone doesn't know, it's when your brain wakes up before your muscles, so you're awake, but you can't move. It is very unpleasant. Anyway, when I was about 12, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I felt the dreaded sensation of my body locking. I always get a few seconds warning. Sometimes I can fight it off and sometimes I can't. My arms and legs were dead weight. My eyes, I could move my eyes and I could make weird noises with my mouth because my mouth was slightly open, but I couldn't really speak. It was just kind of like whining, gurgling noise. My mum must have heard me cry out because she came to check on me. I could see she was trying to comfort me, but something wasn't right. I had a sense of utter dread building inside me, and there was absolutely nothing I could do about it. Before my eyes, she started to melt. Her skin dripped like wax, and she transformed into what I can only describe as a hag. Think the evil queen from Snow White. We were talking about that earlier. And
clarification, your mum does not look like a hag.
She does not, no, not at all. No, the thing she turned into, if you've seen Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and we were saying earlier, most children have been traumatised by that at some point.
Absolutely. It really did make one of the like top 100 scary moments ever in cinema.
Quite rightly. As you said, beautifully done.
Yes,
but
yes.
Absolutely bloody terrifying. Yeah. That's what it looked like, but kind of real and just 100 times worse. So where am I? Yes, the evil queen from Snow White. This thing then climbed up onto my chest, placed her arms around my neck or her hands, and I could feel her gnarled nails digging into my skin. The pressure on my chest was getting heavier and heavier. She was strangling me, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. Then, this sounds really stupid, I managed with all my might to move my little toe. My body unlocked and she vanished. After that, I trained myself to sleep on my front or side to avoid it happening, as it only seems to affect me if I'm lying on my back. And I do still sleep like that now if I can. Obviously, you flip over in your sleep, don't you? But I do always try to sleep on my side or front. I still get sleep paralysis, but I've never had anything happen to me like that ever again. Obviously, you could argue I was just dreaming, or that my mum had a very, very weird sense of humour. But it was I was awake and it felt very, very real.
I bet it did.
It did.
The human mind is terrifyingly powerful at that, especially when you're halfway between asleep and awake because you can't separate the two.
Yeah.
With a condition like sleep paralysis on top of that, I can imagine it must be utterly terrifying. However explainable it might be afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't really help you at the moment, does it?
No. Because, you know, the fact is you can't move. So
your brain then perhaps would start to invent, oh, it must be on being strangled, so she calls in your chest, where you presumably feel a weight in your chest because breathing, being paralysed must be a bit.
But obviously you can breathe through your nose, but if your mouth is shut at the time of sleep, then you won't be able to open your mouth.
Yeah,
so it's a bit like you can only breathe through your nose, which I would, you know.
Which if you're then panicking, you'll panic. Get oxygen deprived, and you will start to panic more.
It's really awful. So, and I'm sure if anyone listens to this, we'll probably get some people who have sleep paralysis. And it's only when you tell someone who hasn't had it, it does sound a bit like you're making it up, because they're like, God, it can't be that bad, but it is really bad. As I said, scientifically that one can be explained. But when you're in it, it is very, very real. So
I think being trapped in your own body is going to be scary regardless.
Yeah, it's a bit like being buried
supernatural
alive
or otherwise.
Yeah, because your mind's trapped, isn't
absolutely.
It
absolutely. No one likes feeling trapped. It's going to be like the ultra claustrophobic sensation possible to a human being.
It's like the opposite of sleepwalking, isn't it? I've never sleepwalked. Maybe that'll be what I start doing later in life.
Don't worry about that, just leave it. At least this one I know where you are. If you start sleepwalking, I'm like going to the fridge or something and start putting yogurt in the washing machine, I'm going to be annoyed with you.
Don't put a wash on overnight.
No. Don't care about economy 7. Stop putting the washing machine on overnight. It's silly.
Right, well, I'll end on, as I said, I've got a more light-hearted one to end on. I did write this one down, but I can't find it anywhere, so I'll just tell it from the heart. As time went on, my grandmother passed away when I was about 16, And she had had her own little annex in there. So we had a kind of spare little annex in our house. So there was a spare bathroom, bedroom, kitchen. And I went out to the cinema with my mum and my then boyfriend, and we saw Paranormal Activity, the first film. I really enjoyed it, but it really freaked me. I was like, would have been 17-ish, so it really, really scared me. And I think we were all quite pumped from it, you know, like, you know, nervously giggling all the way home, like, I'm fine. Who's watched Family Guy? You know, type
I'm
thing.
Not scared at all.
Yeah, I'm not scared. I'm not scared at all.
Are you scared?
Yeah,
are you scared?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you were.
Yeah, I'm not scared. I want to cry. You know, like that. we got back, and we all needed to go to the bathroom. And bearing in mind, obviously, once we got back, there was my sister and my dad, and possibly my sister's friend in the house as well. So every bathroom was taken when I got in. Every bathroom was taken. I was like, oh, I need to go. I really need to go. And I was thinking, oh, I'm gonna have to go in Nana's bathroom. Now, bearing in mind, I wasn't scared of going to Nana's little bit. It wasn't a kind of, I think it's haunted. It's more of a, oh, I feel a bit weird because she's died and this is her place, and I feel a bit like I'm intruding. And one thing I should mention is that when she was alive, she used to say, you must always knock on the door because it's rude. Don't just come in. You have to knock, otherwise I won't let you in. So, you know. Anyway, so I burst through her kitchen, living room, bedroom, and got to the bathroom door. And I turned the handle and it was locked. I was thinking, oh God, someone's in here as well. I'm gonna have to go pee in the garden. I was like, hello, hello, who's in here? Are you gonna be long? You know, I was thinking if my sister got friends over or something. And I was sort of rattling on the handle going, let me in, can you please let me in? And I was at that, you know, doing the wee wee waddle dance at that point. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh yes.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
You know, when you're kind of bent double, but like, please, please, you know.
If you keep moving, it won't hurt quite as much.
Yes. Oh, please, you know, let me in. And I was getting more and more panicky and just thinking, oh, what am I going to do? And then I suddenly remembered what my Nana had said to me, you know, as a child. And I just stopped, and then I just knocked, and then the door came. The door, honestly, no lie, the door swung open. Good. I think because I was so relieved to actually get to the toilet, I didn't think about how weird that scenario was. Afterwards, you know, I was like, oh, lol, you know, fair enough, Nana, yeah, you know.
You probably didn't sit on the toilet.
No, I'm saying after.
You're saying the word lol.
Well, I might have done, I was 17, I mean. Lol fish on the toilet.
You were ruffle cocked ring on the floor then.
Oh God,
in your yellow haze.
In my yellow haze, yeah. But so that is completely true, that story. Obviously, and I have to say, this door never had a history of sticking or being stiff or anything like that. There was never an issue with this door before. So, I suppose,
if it never got stuck normally.
No, it didn't.
Because if case you got stuck in your yellow panic, you could have, oh my God, it's doing something weird.
Mm. No, it was locked. There was someone in there. And
she was teaching you a lesson,
she
clearly.
She was teaching me a lesson.
And it worked, because you've remembered it.
Don't just burst in on people's bathrooms, guys. Even if they've passed away, you need to knock on the door.
Well, she didn't catch you the first few doors.
She
had clearly defined rules.
Yeah. Well, she was quite slow on her feet because she had a bad back and a walking stick, so she probably didn't reach me till I got to the bathroom, and I was like, nope.
Yeah, maybe.
But that was the only time I ever experienced anything with her.
Young lady, you will behave and you'll be polite.
Yeah, and fair play to her. You know, yeah. I did just burst into her flat without asking. So, those are my... I do have other experiences.
So that's your story of breaking into someone's house then? Really,
yeah.
It's good.
Then I went to the police station and... No.
And are we there as well?
Are we there? Yeah. Well, you know, when you're that desperate, you have to go a few times before your bladder settles down, I find. Yeah, I have had other experiences, but I thought I'd just focus on those for now. Mm. And you can think of something for next.
I will think up some things, yeah. You will have to check with people.
That's fine. Fair enough. If not, just...
Because if they're not my stories...
Yeah.
I'll check.
That's fine. If not, research something else.
There's plenty of exciting things out there, aren't there? So,
but obviously, it'd be nice
we'll
to hear something that...
Sonic Dark Tourist. Back around full circle.
Yeah,
there.
But it would be nice to hear something, like, fresh, but obviously, yeah. Absolutely. But I think, yeah, any final thoughts on my stories or anything?
I think it's rather nice that most of them are actually quite... ultimately pleasant, like nothing evil there at all.
But do you think...
So, as a way into those sort of experiences in your life.
Yeah.
Sounds like they were pretty positive.
As an outsider...
They were family members.
As an outsider, though, do you think there definitely was something paranormal happening, or do you think it was just me being a kid, like, going...
Certainly kids' imaginations are incredibly powerful, but
yeah,
that's a good thing.
It is.
But, I'm glad to hear them.
I mean, things like the door and the rain are a lot harder to explain than... Because you could always go, I was a little kid, so I probably just imagined it.
But your mum's not a little kid.
No.
So she probably didn't imagine it.
No. Yeah, so think of it what you will, everybody. If people listen to this and it goes out and we continue making, we will, I'm sure, set up a social media account and an email. Which I will tell you what they are if this happens. This is time travel for you guys. So I guess we'll leave it there for now and hope that someone listens to this once we've figured out how to get it out. Once we figure out how to actually get this out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Optimistic is good.
So I'd like to thank you all to listening to our first ever episode of The Ghost Gig. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, see what I did there? Thank you for tuning in. And we will speak to you very soon. Take care.
Goodbye.